Jason, quick question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Help me understand a little bit more clearly what you're asking.
Did you ever hear it called Don't Go Jason Waterfalls?
Is this Matt Hamilton?
So I kind of just thought of this question on the spot. So it needs to be workshopped a little. I'm not going to lie.
That's same as Matt.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Oh, snap! What's up with that? What's up with that?
It is Jason Wilde. It's Jim, Matt, Molly, but it's just Jim now with Jason. So this is Jim and Jason presented by Coors Light. We're live from the Everlight Solar Studio. And big day, Jason. So before we get to the all the Packers stuff, what are you doing to relax tonight? Are you turning off your phone? Are you watching a movie? Or are you just riding the dragon? Like, what's your night like?
Yeah, I have been... I have struggled with some anxiety today, let me put it that way.
But you and me both.
I've done all that I can. I have cast my ballot, and now I'm going to probably sit and obsess over the television for the next, I don't know, what time do we think things will be called? About 3, 4 in the morning?
Next week?
I don't know if I can do, I don't even know if I can do that. So we'll see, but it's great to be on with Jim. It's one of my favorite shows.
Yes.
Did you ever do a show by yourself? Like, I know you got Pablo there, and Wooly is somewhere. I don't know where. But have you? Do you have a lot of experience doing shows alone?
So I did the Jump Around. Strofe was my producer, so he hopped in. It was kind of old school Homer and Thunder sort of thing. But I did the show solo for an hour before Matt joined the show. And then currently, but it's just it's a digital show, much like the one you do with Alex Strofe. Brad Nortman ditched me a while back, so now it's just me on the Jump Around. So I do that one. But we have a guest on every week, so it's pretty simple.
I was going to say, I don't know how, like, there's lots of, you know, people that have done this job that talk to the audience the whole time. I just can't, like, I don't know what I would do without Tausch. I mean, I'd have to talk to Jesse even more than I do now, which is way too much as it is.
Now, that does remind me, our early poll question, and again, speaking of polls, you can get out and vote in, I believe, Madison area until 8 o'clock, so get out and vote. But we asked the question, Jason, and you can hop in on this one. Which news do you want to avoid more today, election coverage or Jesse Nelson birthday talk? Right now, 62% of people voted for Jesse Nelson birthday talk.
We certainly covered way more of birthday talk than we needed to this morning. And I said this to him off air, he does a fantastic job. We give him a lot of grief. He rolls with it. We appreciate that about him. Some of it is very much deserved, and he takes way more time off than us normal people do. But he's 33 years old. Like, yeah. There's a tipping point on your birthday. Like, I don't know if he's going to Farrell's and he's going to have the ice cream and the clown there or what, but, like, the show's over, man. You're a grown-up now. You're married. You own a house. You have a dog.
Yeah.
Like, birthdays, this ain't for you no more.
No.
It's just another day. And maybe your wife, you know, brings you Starbucks or something.
Yeah, if you got a zero behind it, I guess it matters. But other than that, like, you get 40, 50, all those matter a little bit.
Sure. 33, no.
No, definitely no, not at all. And honestly...
But from what I hear, that was when Jesus died. I did not see that coming this morning. I'm still trying to recover from Tausch deciding that was what he wanted to add to the conversation.
Well, I just learned that too, so that's good information for me to know now going forward. I'll never forget it, I'll tell you that. On election day in 2024, I learned Jesus was 33 when he died. And speaking of weird coincidences, Jason, I looked, and you get the Facebook alerts, and there was, this could be ominous for Jesse, there was two other people that shared the same birthday as Jesse Nelson. They might appear on your Facebook wall as well because they are former GKB teammates. So I don't know what that means for Jesse, but the other two people that had birthdays today on my Facebook wall no longer work for Good Karma.
The ones that were on my Facebook wall, I think most of them are very successful women. So I don't know what that means for Jesse either, quite frankly.
Well, we'll have to parse that a different time. So
it's a different show.
Yeah, it's a different show. Jason, the Preston Smith trade, I don't know. From the outside looking in, it looks like maybe you saved some cap money and do right by Preston. Like, what was Goody's thought on it? What was the the move behind or the thought process behind getting rid of Preston Smith, and then you also can add of why they thought they didn't need to add anyone.
Yeah, so let's start with the Preston Smith part first, because we just got done talking to Goody, and you know, look, I think it makes perfect sense because it falls right in line with his philosophy. And I remember asking him a question last year after the season and the success they'd had, which, you know, he is full of you-know-what if he tries now to be a revisionist historian and say they weren't rebuilding. They were 3-6 when they traded Rasul Douglas. He did not expect them to finish 9-8 and win a playoff game on the road in Dallas. And I think he kind of admitted that today. Because my point to him was, when you trade Rasul, you know, and you wanted to let Carrington Valentine play more and Corey Ballantyne, and you wanted to have younger guys play, that made sense because you were rebuilding and you didn't know you were going to go 6-2 over your final eight and make the playoffs. But this time, you're 6-3. You believe you have a Super Bowl contender, and you trade away the oldest guy on your team who is not – it's not like he's 40. He's 31. And he's been productive for you at times. Not very productive this season, but then again, no one on your defensive front has been particularly productive, right? So, you know, what I basically said was, you know, I think fans are going to have a little bit more trouble understanding because of where you're at the trade deadline. And, you know, he said, look, we weren't going around calling teams saying, hey, we're looking to get rid of Preston Smith. But, you know, the Steelers needed someone opposite T.J. Watt that could take some snaps with some experience, and they were willing to basically give them the seventh rounder that they'd given up for Malik Willis earlier this year, so now he's got a full cabinet of draft picks again, and he jumped at it. So, look, they want to play. We saw Aaron Mosby make a play in the game on Sunday. They need Lucas Van Ness. If he's going to get better, he's got to play more. And he has not been very good, in my opinion. They need more from him. They definitely, and my favorite part of the conversation with Goody tonight was, you know, me basically saying, look, I know he's a conscientious player, but how much more do you need from Rashawn Gary? And he said, we need more from all of those guys, which is a no-blank Sherlock type deal. But for the general manager to say it publicly, I think it's significant to acknowledge that. So, look, this is an opportunity for Kingsley and Igbare and Aaron Mosby and Brenton Cox and LVN to say, hey, our GM believes this is a young man's game, and we're the young guys that now have to elevate our games and be productive because they traded away Preston Smith. In terms of incoming deals, I mean, Goody basically said there was nothing. So he said we knew it was going to be quiet because you start having these conversations 4, 5, 6 weeks in advance. But they weren't in on Marshawn Lattimore. They weren't in. They certainly weren't looking for wide receiver help. I do think it's a little bit interesting. I know, you know, there were reports that Greg Newsome, the corner out of Northwestern, that was a first-round pick in 21 by the Browns, that he was being shopped. I know Jaden Reed had kind of included some post from him on his own Instagram story. Look, I don't know. Maybe that guy ends up getting cut, and you put a claim in on him and maybe you can get him, but he has, I was looking at PFF, he hasn't been great, so it's not like he's a huge upgrade. Like, I thought maybe that they would do like a disappointing 2021 first round cornerback swap and send you know, because the Browns had picked up the fifth year option on Newsome. The Packers did not pick it up on Stokes. I thought maybe they would swap those guys and see if a change in scenery helped either one of them, but you know, they did not make any moves to bring anybody in. I don't have a problem with that, but I'll be curious to see, you know, Goody knocked on the wood of the podium about how healthy they've been, you know, and he admitted you get a couple of injuries and suddenly you're looking at the Preston Smith trade, and this is a quote from him saying, hey, oh, man, maybe we shouldn't have done that. So we'll have to see how it plays out. I thought it was a pretty honest response from him.
Talking with Jason Wilde, and we asked our fans this. Obviously, like, I don't think anyone is really expecting a trade today, and I know they did some free agency this year, but you could go back, and Rodgers talked about that on McAfee, of course. Anytime you take a shot at the Packers, he took it. But whether it's you know, Randy Moss or Marshawn Lynch to players throughout, do the Packers have to kind of reevaluate their thought process on trading four players? Because I look at There's a lot of teams, and look, the Jets and the Cowboys are definitely suspect as far as, like, do they make good decisions, but the Steelers are an unquestionably great organization. They acquired two players with not a lot of draft capital spent, and so are the Chiefs. And if you watch Monday Night Football, you saw DeAndre Hopkins make some big-time plays for Patrick Mahomes. Now, the Packers didn't need a receiver, and this might not be the year, but look, Lattimore could have been season-changing for them, and I'm not saying they had to do that, but it's not like there was nobody out there that they could have gotten. So do you think at some point they might have to reevaluate it? Because good, solid franchises who have built sustained success are dipping their toes in the water for trading for players during the season.
Well, especially when I read from Schefter that the Saints restructured Lattimore's deal and the Chiefs got him on, or the Commanders got him on a minimum salary. Like,
yeah.
As Tausch likes to say about Tito's vodka, pour me in, coach. You get him on a minimum salary, I'm in, right? And
yeah.
Especially when you look at what the Packers have at corner. But, again, the bottom line is that, yeah, sometimes you look at trades that they could have made. There was a big defensive tackle a couple of years ago, Tomlinson, that was on the market, the trade market. I think he was with the Giants. They talked about acquiring him. They didn't. And he ended up being he could have probably helped them that year. I think he went to Minnesota after that. He's bounced around a little bit. But I just keep thinking back, and you know, again, I don't like to take shots at your team. But, you know, the Bears and the Packers both, and look, Goody doesn't get credit for this because he made the offer too. But they both offered second-round picks for Chase Claypool.
Yeah.
And the Bears, because the Pittsburgh Steelers thought that the Bears pick would be better, and I guess slightly it was, they took the Bears offer instead of the Packers. And, you know, like Garth Brooks' unanswered prayers, one of God's greatest gifts is that they didn't give up a second-round pick for a guy who stunk.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't have a problem, and I've certainly been more critical of Goody than other people, especially on our show. but I would say that I think a lot of times he's stood pat, and it's probably been the smarter play.
It has, and yeah, Ryan Poles missed on Claypool. He hit on Sweat, but like there, right. There's plenty of times where it could miss really badly. Speaking of, as I transition to Jordan Love, he hasn't been an accurate quarterback for most of his career. If you just go off completion percentage, and also now he's throwing the ball to the wrong team more often than you'd like. Is there anything they're going to work on? Because I know you could put injury on some of it for sure, but back at Utah State, he wasn't accurate. His second season as starter at Utah State, he threw picks. Like, it seems like he's a guy whose accuracy will come and go, and also decision-making will come and go over the course of his career. Like, what can they do in the bye week to get him to take care of the football and put the ball in better spots? Because there's more than accuracy, just completion percentage. It's getting the ball in a position where a player can catch it in stride and go somewhere with it, too. And I'm not saying he's horrible at that. I'm just saying that, like, statistically, he's probably about 4% what you'd want from a quarterback getting paid $55 million per year.
Yeah, and look, we look at the last 8 games, plus obviously the Dallas playoff game, and for him to have gone, you know, what was he, including the Dallas playoff game, like 23 touchdowns, one pick, going into San Francisco, like, you know, I think that created in a lot of us, and his completion percentage was north of 70%.
Yep. Like, that last game against Chicago was like 70, almost 80%, I think.
Right, and for that stretch, it was over 70%, and I think he was at like 57% in the first, you know, 9 games or whatever it was. So, look, I think his biggest problem, I do think that his accuracy has improved steadily from when he got here to now. I do think the injuries have caused him to be less accurate because he's not stepping into his throws, his fundamentals are poor, his practice, like, you know, I don't think it was his groin that bothered him on Sunday so much as it did that he didn't practice at all on Wednesday and only did individual drills on Thursday. That means he took no team reps in the two biggest practices of the week. So I thought he looked like a guy who didn't practice enough. And football is a sport that you need to practice during the week to be good on Sunday. So I think that's part of it. But I think LaFleur's biggest issue, and if, you know, if people listen to the back and forth that I had with Matt yesterday when we played it this morning on our show, I think Matt LaFleur told you a little bit in a roundabout way because he didn't want to look like he was just ripping the heck out of his quarterback, but his message was pretty clear. And that is, look, you can do some magnificent things with the football. I love your competitiveness. I love your aggressiveness. I love your arm strength. I love your talent. But, dude, sometimes just throw the damn ball out of bounds and don't take chances. And that's the issue that and I was saying this to Homer tonight, too. Like, that's where the Favre comp comes in. I get really frustrated with all these people that think when I compare him to Favre, I'm making it sound like being Favre is such a bad thing. Now, you know, post-career, we can certainly have the conversation yeah. about whether it's
I might agree with that statement post, but on the field, he was a hell of a football player.
Right, but he had an inability to give up on a play, and that was to his detriment. And that has to change because as great as Favre was, winning a Super Bowl, getting to another one, you had Mark Tauscher running across the countryside trying to tackle intercepting players for the Rams when you threw six picks in a playoff game and three were returned for touchdowns. Like, they have to get him to take fewer risks when the situation calls for you to be smart with it. And that, to me, is what LaFleur's biggest issue is with him right now.
Jason, that was great insight, and thanks for giving us a little break from all the election drama. So we appreciate you hopping on.
Always great to be on Jim, and Jim.
All right, and Jason. All right. This is Jim, and Jim. Jim, Matt, and Molly. We have been presented by Coors Light. You have time. Get out there and vote. And then go home and have a couple Coors Light and enjoy your evening. And whether that's watching election coverage or watching a movie or just listening back to the show, Wisconsin On Demand, Apple, Spotify, you can watch us on YouTube, will be far more enjoyable than any election night coverage. Go and vote. Enjoy your night. This has been Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.